Second of all, that we do it without any expectations from Allah or the Ahlul Bayt themselves. And number three, which was very, very important, فَلْيَعْمَلْ بِعَمَلِنَا, the Imam said in the hadith, that whoever loves us, then they have to, their amal has to match our amal. And I explained that that means that there has to be some form of correspondence between what we're doing and what they did. A person can't be on the other side of the spectrum and expect that this love is going to help them. When you love somebody, you try to be like them. And then last night we got into a hadith, a wonderful hadith, that really kind of shakes one. Those of us like me who sometimes might feel like this love is all that matters in me making it in Yawmul Qiyamah. The hadith really made it clear, very clear. Again and again the Imam repeated, Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, he kept repeating in the hadith that love will has to equal and translate to al-amal. And he was saying that how can someone claim that they're a lover of ours and yet la yakun fa'alan, is not active, does work, is active. And then there was a list of things that he mentioned in that hadith that are the sign of a person who is a Shia. But in the beginning he said something. In the beginning he said, when he's speaking to Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari, he tells him that فَوَاللَّهُ مَا شِعَتُنَا إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّقَ اللَّهُ وَأَطَاعَهُ, that a Shia, this is what they're all about. Definition of Shia is this, he says, as if the one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he gave a list of signs of people who will have this ta'a of Allah and obedience of Allah. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit, getting a little more practical. Just go over some points that, you know, we can remind ourselves of to make sure that we have what it takes to be a Shia, or else we don't want to leave this dunya and not make the most of that. We want high returns of investment for those of you who, you know, are in that field of whatever. So, first thing we got to figure out is this taqwa or this obedience of Allah and stuff. What does that even mean? Because some people ask. Sometimes a person like me will take it as a given that it is clear what this means, obedience of Allah. But really, sometimes people come up to you and ask, how do I know if I'm obeying Allah? How do I know that I have taqwa or not? Well, taqwa is a disposition that one has. A person reaches a point where they make sure that whatever they do is in line with the law of God. Very simple. The wajib and the haram. Very simple. That's what it's called. Someone might say, I want to make sure Allah is happy. Well, bismillah, go ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have that in luxury to go ask Allah what our every single duty is here in this earth that we live in, right? And that's why he sends a prophet. So someone say, okay, I'm going to go ask the prophet. Bismillah, go ask the prophet. We don't have access to the prophet either, right? Someone in a few weeks ago, after when we were looking for the moon, usually these moon wars happen, right? You're looking for the moon for the month of Dhul Hijjah. So a brother comes up to me after Jummah Salat, after I had explained that, you know, this marja says this, this marja says that. He comes up to me. He's like, I don't know about these mullahs. I'm going to follow my Lord. I said, okay, bismillah, go ask him if the moon was sighted or not. We don't have access, or else, yeah, of course we're going to go ask Allah if we can. That's the whole struggle right now, is that we don't have access to Allah. We don't have access to the Holy Prophet. We don't have access to the Imams. Some people say, I'm going to follow the Imams versus the ulama. Imams know what they're talking about. Yeah, we all know that. The thing is, we don't have access to them. What we do have access is to what has reached us of their sayings. And they have said to us in different narrations that you go and consult the ones who know these ahadith of ours, to know your wajib and haram. In other words, today, to cut it short, brothers and sisters, today we have no choice really. We have to follow what these scholars, which are referred to as maraja of taqlid today, what they're saying, the wajib and haram that they tell us. So, when the Imam says, a Shia is the one who does ta'a of Allah and is obedient of Allah, if I want to know how much obedience I have, I have to see how much I'm living by the wajib and haram of Allah, the law of God, and to figure that out, I have to have access to somebody. I don't have access of Allah, the Prophet, the Imams, but we have access of these ulama who are in touch with and have spent their lives in these texts and literature of Islam that we have, refining them, going through them, sifting to figure out. Really, it takes a lot of hard work. It's like detective work to figure out what these wajibat are, what these muharramat are. And then they give us their book of laws and say, here you go. Think about it. Yeah? a book that says Jannah guaranteed or your money back, you know? And then they give you this book for free or for a very nominal price just to, you know, pay for the pages or whatever. This is a book that is inshallah going to guarantee Jannah. I have nothing else really out there. You can't go. We can't go to the ahadith ourselves and figure things out. It's hard. It takes a long time. Bismillah. If someone wants to, bismillah, the doors are open. Go in, become your own boss, become your own mujtahid, and figure things out. If not, if you want to stay here in Toronto, Kawhi didn't want to, but if you want to stay here in Toronto, bismillah, stay here, but you have to follow an expert. Yeah? All right. So that's regarding taqwa, that's regarding this ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who develops a disposition, a malaka they call it in them, they reach a point where they are observing the wajib and haram of Allah, they have taqwa now. Alright, so these are the ones who are the Shia, and then they had a list of signs the Imam mentioned, right? Alright, now we have some questions here. Number one, the young people out there, I used to be, I'm like on that border now, I don't know. Those younger brothers and sisters out there, they might say that what was in that hadith, that list that we went through last night, things like birrul walidain, things like only speaking good of people, and if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. Things like sawm and salah and liking worship and dhikrullah, things like that. Yeah, the whole list, if I'm going to go through it, actually, let's go through it real quick just to remind us what was in there. Humility and amanah, being trustworthy. Kathrat dhikrillah, abundance of dhikrullah. Sawm, salat. Birr al-walidain, being good to the poor, the needy, the ones that, the neighbors, all that kind of stuff we had. And the orphans. Sidq al-hadith, being truthful. Tilawat al-Quran, reciting the Quran. Kaff al-alsun an-nas, not speaking of people except in a good way. And the fact that they are umana'u asha'irihim, that they are the trusted ones in their people, amongst their people, amongst their communities. This was the list. Someone might say, a young guy might say, that is too hard. I can't live up to all of that. Brothers and sisters, remember last time I talked about the soft generation? We're the soft generation. Let's try to make things a little easier and more feasible. Yes, the Imam gave a list in front of us. But like, is there any of us out there who when we turn like 18 or something, when we graduate from high school, right there our parents expect us to be a doctor and be a millionaire and be this and be that. In this life, guys, it takes time. Things happen gradually. So yes, the list was a long list. It wasn't too easy either. But we have to understand that if I can't make it all happen now, it's something at least to work towards, just like every other thing that we do in life. No one expects you to be at the top of your game right from the beginning. It takes time for you to grow. Same thing here. Yes, we have to try, and I will talk about that later. No one will try to, you know, those. I usually ask kids this question, like, who in this room who's like 12 or 13 years old likes to drive? Everyone says me. I say, okay, if you have to get your driver's license when you're 16, I don't know what the legal age here is, 16. Yeah, so if you have to get it at 16, is there anyone who would wait till the last day to start practicing? No. You start practicing from before, and you know, you and me know, wink, wink, we've driven illegally before a lot. Before we reach legal age, you'll have kids sometimes. Well, back home it was like that. I don't know about here. You'll have kids who will start practicing from way before. Why? Because to reach that point that now I'm going to be actually tested, you want to be ready for that. It takes a time. It takes some time to get to that point where you can pass that test. This is just how our lives are. We are governed by time and gradualness. So the Imams, when they're saying, be like this, he gives us a whole list of things. I would like to have this take. That at least when I'm 40, 50 years old, I'm like this. Right? I don't want to be 40 or 50 years old, because you see this on YouTube all the time. The guy is 50 years old. My man is still collecting sneakers. The guy is 50 years old, or 40 years old, the biggest boxer in the world right now, 50-0. Is he 51 or 50? I don't know. 50-0. He's like 20 Rolexes. All right, man, how many wrists do you have? No one even understands which one you wore today and which one you wore tomorrow. We can't tell. Maybe one or two, okay, I understand, because you're making $200 million a fight. But you're 40 years old, you're still trying to collect watches. Then they start collecting cars. Then as you grow, you're not growing, you're just growing physically. But up here, you're still a child. When I reach 40 or 50, inshallah, I want to be that type of person who isn't a child anymore. Isn't the same that I was 18, 15 years old. Yes, you're young right now. You're worried. You're like, the list is too long. The list is too hard. That's fine. At least strive to reach a point that you're like that. This is the part we don't get sometimes. Younger guys who are here, younger brothers and sisters that are here, that's what it's all about, in my opinion. That you work enough so that when you're 40, 50, just like you go to university, just like you, you know, do different things so that you reach that point, at least be like that. Now, somebody might say, oh, he's promoting that we slack off when we're 20 or we're 18. That's not what we were saying. A person who goes to school let's just say, I'm just using the example of a doctor, right? To become a doctor, no one's going to tell him, oh, look at him slacking off. Why? Why do you say he's slacking off? Because he's not a doctor yet. Hello? He's only 18, 20 years old. Give him or her some time. If they are starting this medical field and they're 35 and they haven't made it, then we can scold them at least. So no one's saying slack off and then do something when you're in your 40s or 50s. No one's saying that. What we're saying is try your best from now. You might fail sometimes. Yeah? But at least if you're trying, you'll make it sometime versus the person who doesn't even try because the list is too long. Now, some people are just smart. Yeah? You always got those people out there, and it's in the real world. It's not just in the Islamic world. And like out there, non-Muslims even, you'll have those people who are just above everyone else in their game. They're the ones who are serious. They'll make it in their 20s sometimes. And this spiritual path that we're trying to get on is no exception. Yes, you will have the likes of Ayatollah Bahja that had special things that Allah had given them in their 20s, right? So yeah, no one's saying that, okay guys, let's wait until 40 or 50 years old. What we're saying is that we should at least be aiming for this, that when I'm 40 years old, 50 years old, the guy's 50 years old, he's still chasing women. It's time to move on a little bit, yeah? Chasing them in a bad way, of course. This person has not taken care of what matters. The fact that he's 50 now, he's chasing around different things, shows that he hasn't really taken, God forbid, taken care of what he needed to. Or else when you're 50 years old, there should be a little more interest in Akhirah than when you were 20. Not that you're 50, but you're still young at heart in a bad way. Yes? And so this list is there, it's hard, but we have to start working towards it, that's for sure. This means we need to start planning, right? One of the most dreaded parts of dieting or body or getting in shape, these people who want to put on muscle, but they don't want to put on fat, right? They want to gain muscle, but at the same time, be careful that it's not covered with fat. What do? They have to really do some meal planning. When you look at these guys, they have like 30... of these Tupperware or whatever they're called, containers. They've made their food for the coming week from beforehand. It's all boxed up and ready. Huh? Why? Because this guy has a goal in life. Not some loser Muslim like me that just sits back and just doesn't want to care about anything. No, these guys are more serious about their dunya than we are about our akhirah. We believe it's eternity and infinity. But we're not willing to plan for it. These guys go as far as doing meal planning, let alone all the calorie counting and all the exercise and all the dieting that they do and all of that stuff on the side. Planning itself is hard, and that's why there's all these apps now for it. It makes life easier Well, if they're gonna do it for their dunya and they wanna be successful, then of course I can do it for my akhirah. So many of those things that were mentioned in that list, we have to go back and be like, okay, if I want to be, let's just say I want to be 40 years old, 50 years old, and I'm taking care of this. Some of them really require planning. I want to go through some of these. So one of them is, or a lot of them, and not just this list, other lists that the imams have given us as well. Lots of times they rely on you having a proper means of livelihood. You have to be earning some halal good money. Lots of them have to do with that. Oh, he's one of those dunyavi sheikhs. He's talking about these things. In some communities, these things are cared less about. Some communities you go, people are too much into these things. I just have to mention it anyway, because we have a whole bunch of literature about how the imams cared about this. That they are going to work hard for a halal living. Guys, brothers, sisters. Lots of times you look at somebody who's in his 40s, for example, and is sinning. And when I say sinning, sinning means being verbally abusive to your family, to your parents. He's 40 years old now. He could barely take care of himself. Now he has to take care of his parents too, who are like 80 years old maybe, whatever. And he keeps losing it. Bad temper. Why? The job he has really, really just stinks. Well, if the reason for one's anger, and I have more examples, we'll go through them, is this, then why not start planning when I'm 15, 16 to have a life? Hello? I want to have a life. To have a life, I have to have a means of livelihood. A halal means of livelihood. If it's not halal, I'll be in trouble. On Ashura, what happened? Imam Hussein keeps talking to these people. They're just not listening. They can't hear. He says, you know what's wrong with you? You filled your bellies with haram. Well, why'd they fill their bellies with haram? Does haram taste good? There was no Outback Steakhouse back then that people go eat haram meat in. What's haram? That means the food that you were attaining and purchasing was purchased through haram means, haram money. How'd they get that? The guy didn't either slacked off, didn't want to work hard, or didn't plan for his future, whatever it was. In the end, he has no choice to survive. He might have to survive off of haram. And that's the result of it. These are real life things. So if I'm 16, 17, and I look at this list, I'm like, this list is too long for me. Well, we can plan for it at least, so that in my 40s, I'm not like that. I'll give you examples. I've seen these things before. The guy's on the phone, my friend, and he's in touch with the car insurance company. Yeah, insurance. I want to get insurance for my car. Yeah. So how many miles is on it? 20,000 miles. I know the guy's lying. It's 40,000 miles. But to save like $50, yeah, you lie. This is a misunderstanding some people have. They think if it's a non-Muslim, you can lie to them. No. Lying is haram all the way, no matter what. Doesn't matter who you're lying to. That's the ruling for it. Lying is haram. I save $50, alhamdulillah, yeah, but you lost $500 in the akhirah. You're going to get bucked 5 times. That's what's going to happen. The guy shouts at his kids because he's angry at his boss who is taking advantage of him. Well, you're not strong enough to go against your boss, so you come home, you take it out on your kids. Why? Because I have no choice. I have to listen to him. If I don't, then I might not have this job. Well, why don't you go for another better job? Well, I can't. Why not? Because I slacked off when I was out doing other things when I was younger. The guy can't fast in Ramadan because of the hard job he has. Once again, this is also something out there. You see some brothers and sisters, they take days off for the nights of Qadr. They are able to fast a little easier at work because their work isn't so hard. But then for some, they have to break their fast sometimes. Now, I'm not saying here that the ones who have a hard job, this applies to them. No, please, we have to understand. These are examples that are out there for some people. It's not always the case that everyone who has a hard job must have slacked off in their life. No. That's not what we're saying at all. We're saying let's be smart about it. If we can plan and make things easier so that we can spend more time for our religion and our families, why not do that? Some have to commit haram in their jobs because they have no other choice. When it comes to marriage, same thing. The guy's ready to get married now, but he kind of wasn't serious before. Now the dad of the girl says, I don't know, man. It's not too promising. I don't see it in you. Some guys want to get married. They've been so missing in action. One of the good things about centers is that these youth who come and go, others get to see them, know what they're all about. If that guy who everyone looks up to and likes in the community comes, is different for the tulbi, is different than the rishta, we say that in Urdu. If he comes, it's different than the one who no one even knows where this guy came from. You've been missing in action. We thought you became shaheed a long time ago. You know? These types of things, it takes planning, yeah. And it's not easy for us because as we're growing up, sometimes we don't have the right mentors or the friends that we're in touch with just don't give us a chance. I don't want, when we have all of this going on, I don't want a youth to ask me when we have so much planning to do. That means we don't got much time. We have some of the things, there's some things out there that can only be possible if we have proper anger management, for example. That takes practice at home with my parents, for example. If I can't figure it out with my parents, oh, trust me, I am not going to be able to figure out my husband or wife. Trust me. Whew. The first couple of years, yeah, birds and butterflies and flowers and stuff. That's what it's all about. But then after 2 or 3 years go, she's a normal person or he's a normal person just like everybody else. And so it's going to get harder. If I haven't controlled my anger growing up, because that's the time, if you, in the teens all the way to the late 20s, maybe in the early 30s, that's about all the time you have to instill things in you. After that, it gets harder and harder, brothers and sisters. Yeah, I'm talking to the younger guys. The older ones, alhamdulillah, you guys are going to go to Jannah. Don't worry about it. The younger guys, yeah, we want to make it too. Sometimes it takes anger management. Yeah? For that, that itself probably needs a lecture. To fix anger, to have anger management, first got to fix perspective. Have to understand that, yes, they will not make sense to me sometimes, my parents. I said this the other night. They might not make sense to me. That's the whole point. And I'll have to understand, now that we're newlyweds, I have to understand after time passes, she or he is going to get a little more normal to me. Right now it's all love, but later on it's going to be normal. We're going to be companions. We're going to be partners. We're going to be friends growing up together. And so we're going to get into arguments. The first argument that comes, oh, he wasn't the right one. Trust me. Trust me. Unless it's a ma'soom, there is no right one. The sky doesn't open up and send that some guy down on a white horse for us. No. There is no such thing. You always have it. That's part of it. If we fix perspective, anger management is also possible. There's other things too. It takes practice. Sometimes you'll mess up. Sometimes we will mess up. Mom or dad really got on my nerves this time, and I get really angry. That's fine. I want to have taken care of this when I'm 35, 40. If I'm 18, okay, I messed up. If I'm 16, okay, I messed up. Let me sit down and think. These are all little practical things that I want to share with you. Let me sit down, think things over. Okay, what happened this time? We're perfectionists, right? Sometimes. Oh my God, see, I was trying to have taqwa. Mom or dad or husband or wife got on my nerves. I said something I wasn't supposed to say. That's it, I'm doomed. No. Sit down and think. What happened? How did that lead up to that? What built up to me exploding like that? What happened? This happened, this, I said this, and then that's what ticked everything off. Next time, don't say that part. Stop it right there. Next time. If there was no next time, yeah, we would all be in trouble. Allah's waiting for next time. Go over that scenario. Next time this scenario comes, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to leave. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to leave. And when you leave, please don't slam the door. There are some people who they want to have taqwa, but they ruin it. For example, someone gets on their nerves. They say, Salamun alaikum. Why? Because the Quran says, when they pass by the jahileen, they say, Salamun alaikum. In other words, you're a jahil. You get what I'm saying? The guy goes out of the room. Mom or dad got them upset. Slams the door. So instead of saying something, you hurt them another way. No. You leave and you close the door or you leave it open, whatever. You just go and you keep the mouth shut. Next time, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. Because when you're angry, you can't think anymore. This stops. This is done. You have to have figured it out from beforehand. So yes, we'll trip up, mess up sometimes, fall. The important thing is to think it over. So right now, we've had a couple points on this. Anger management. One of those things on the list of Imam al-Baqir was what? Birrul walidain. To be good with the parents. It requires anger management. It requires us to control ourselves. For that, we have to have some strategy. What else did the list have? They said to speak people in a positive way. Yeah? Well then, that means I have to start controlling my tongue from now. Because trust me guys, brothers and sisters, as we get older, as we're more involved in a community, as we're in our 30s and 40s, I'm telling you right now, oh man, people be dumb. People be weird. Unfortunately. There's going to be a lot more ammunition when we grow older and we're more in touch with people than now when we are, you know, busy in our lives, working and studying and all that kind of stuff. Later on, as the torch is passed to us, yeah? As the torch is passed to us, yeah, it'll reach a point that you want to take that torch and just put it in your face. Why? Because of people. Because how people are. So there's going to be a lot more tests coming up. So when's the time to start practicing to hold my tongue back? When I'm with my siblings at home. So it takes planning. What was on the list? What other things on the list? It said qira'atul Qur'an. Tilawatul Qur'an it was. Yeah? Well, if I want to be able to read Qur'an, I can't start practicing when I'm 35. I have to start practicing when I'm 12, 13, 10, 14, 15, whatever. Even if you're 20 right now and you feel like, okay, there's something wrong with my rest. I can't recite. I don't know. Now's not too late. Bismillah. But it means that when I'm 12, 13, 15, I dedicate 20 minutes a day. Take 20 minutes out from whatever you're playing, Fortnite and the Xbox and stuff like that, boring stuff, no graphics or whatever, the one I've seen at least. Yeah, it looks pretty boring to me. Maybe I'm old now, I don't know. Yeah, I used to play games too. Yeah. Some people don't know, Mulana, sheikhs are human beings too. We have our jahiliyyah days as well. But that is something that only Allah will know about. Take 20 minutes out. You can take 20 minutes out, but who's going to do that? Someone who's serious about life, someone who respects themselves. Why do some people go to university and work their backs off? Why? Because they have respect for themselves. I'm not going to grow up and being in need of these people that I see. I respect myself. Well, if we respect ourselves, we're going to also plan for our akhirah as well. It's not going to be easy. 20 minutes out just for tilawatul Qur'an, learn to tilawatul Qur'an. There was this one brother once, years ago, Lebanese, not from here, stop guessing, don't try to guess, not from here, somewhere else in the world. Huh? He told me, today I learned the alphabet. He was like 35 years old. Better than nothing, but he had learned it from his niece, which is like 10 years old. So he understands that I have to spend time now it is, but it would have been better if he had done it before. Yeah? At least he understands that now I should do it. It's never too late. Yeah? That's also a rule that we have. But the ones who are gonna really make it are gonna be the ones who do the planning at the right time. What is the driving force and motivation for all of this? Love of Ahlul Bayt. You see where this whole thing comes in now? It's supposed to end in that. Recite Salawat. Some of these things will only be possible if you don't take the first steps. We need to talk about this. If you don't take the first steps regarding certain things. Three things I want to say here. Environment, friends, and, you know, guy-girl stuff. Okay? A person who has respect for themselves and at the same time believes in akhirah, right? And wants to work towards it. I'm not talking about the ones who don't take anything serious. I'm not talking about the ones who could care less about akhirah and stuff like that. What I'm saying is going to be irrelevant to them. But there are younger people out there who care about these things. They've heard it. They're not super religious, of course. But, you know, they've heard it and they believe in it. Deep down inside, they know it's coming. They know they might be doing certain things wrong. I'm talking about these people. Still, they have some respect for themselves. These brothers and sisters, they have to be careful when it comes to these three things that I said. And there might be more, but I can only think of these three. To not take the first steps because they are slippery slopes. And once you put your foot down there, you keep going and it just snowballs after that. Friends, you know somebody's not the right person to hang out with. Just don't hang out. Why? Because the first, second text you send, yeah? That first, second, like kind of handshake, the cool handshake you got with them. Before you know it, you are somewhere else where you're not supposed to be after a year or two of this acquaintance that you had with this individual. Don't take the first step, brothers and sisters. We know it. We know it. There are people out there we're not supposed to be in touch with. Harder than that, not just the friend part, is the opposite gender part and the girl-boy stuff. Look, when you send that text message, now I don't know, back in the day, if you sent a few emojis, that might have been enough to for like some liking to take place. Now it might be harder, I don't know. But if you know that this extra message, this extra joke, right, is going to kind of, you know, get that attention, well, the question is, so what? What is going to be the end of this? You guys are going to go back and forth now, texting each other a lot. Are you gonna get married? No, probably not. What's gonna happen? I don't know, but we're just going around. Well, you're gonna break his or her heart, first of all, because you know it's not gonna end nice anyway. Plus the sins that you've accumulated. Yeah? Plus, who would like their husband or wife who have to have spoken to somebody else in an intimate way before they got married? You're just doing everything wrong, like from a human perspective, not from an Islamic perspective even. Yeah? If you know that it's not nothing's gonna end right, why take that first step? That's where some people have mad respect for themselves. They don't take that first step. This is important. You want to plan? These bodybuilders, for months they'll stay away from certain things because they're getting ready for the stage. That's why Allama Tabatabai says the biggest riyadah, the hardest riyadah and asceticism. Yeah? You know, we say murtad, riyazat in Urdu. Yeah? Is to live a religious life, because you got to go from day one till the grave. There's no cheat days. It's hard. The guy goes on the stage eventually after 5 months of training and cutting and all of that. What does he do after that? Right after he goes on stage, the bodybuilder, what does he do? He has his cheat meals after that. He takes a break. There is no taking breaks from Islam and living a religious life. But the rewards are crazy. Eternity, brothers, let's think about that. And so a person who respects themselves and wants to build that, I'm not taking the first step. Environment, same thing. It's a mistake some people make to think, and I hate to sound like this, like I know what I'm talking about, I'm just like everybody else, okay? Theoretically speaking, it's a mistake though to say, yes, it is not something great to not sin when you're at home or you're in a good environment. It is a great thing to not sin if you're in a bad environment. Let's go downtown Toronto. First time I came to Toronto, I remember years ago, and so we had to go to downtown for something. That was the first time I saw certain haram things I've never seen in my life. Yeah. Let's go downtown Toronto, and there let's not do sin. Well, if it just so happens that you have to go to downtown, that's just an example. I'm not saying, yeah, now someone might go out and say, oh, he said it's haram to live in downtown. I'm not saying that. You get what I'm saying? This is just an example. A haram setting, let's say, okay? I'm going to go to a haram setting, but there I'm not going to sin. Look, if you have to go for something, go and then try your best not to sin. Or else you stay away from that stuff. Who walks on the edge of a cliff and says, this is cool if I don't fall off? Not if I'm way inside and not close to the edge of the cliff. You weird. You got to get yourself checked. Ihtiyat and taking precaution in these things is of the utmost importance. So these three things, you don't take the first steps even. Yeah, that's for smart people. That's for people who respect themselves. That's for people who care for themselves and their futures. It takes planning. There are a few more things I'm going to cover tomorrow night. So if it takes all this planning, all this work, do we have too much time on our hands? I don't think so. If it's this serious, if I get a question, oh, Sheikh, like, why is marijuana haram or not? Yeah? I'll smile at that question. You know, it's not a problem. We'll answer. We'll talk about it. But the thing that goes through my mind, guys, is that why does this question have to be asked in the first place? That's my question. If we have so much work and we have so much to do for ourselves, who cares about other people? For ourselves, do I have time to try to figure out if this is okay, that's okay? I don't have. Ain't nobody got time for this. You know? We don't have time for that. It's time is going fast. I know in our teens and in our 20s, it goes a little slow. Once you hit 30, 35, 40, it goes really fast. And you're like, man, I should have taken other things seriously before. Yes. So it takes planning. If this list is a long list, it seems like a hard list. It is hard for those who want to do it right away. At least let's plan so that as we grow older, we get more used to these things so that we can at least have instilled all of this in us at a time where it is expected of us, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. We've all heard the name of two of the greatest companions of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, Habib bin Mudahir and Muslim bin Awsajah. These are ones who, they did their job from the beginning. They respected themselves. It reached the point where they had to go out of their way to even become shaheed. Sometimes you're like, okay, I'm ready to go. Sometimes you have to work for it to be ready to go. He said they were the ones who worked for it to go. What am I talking about? We'll get to it. Habib bin Mudahir, there are some narrations that say that the Holy Prophet would hug him when he was a kid. And you know why? They would ask him, who is this kid? Why are you hugging him? He would say that this child plays with my Hussein. Habib from then knows Imam Hussein, according to this. Of course, he's a bit older than Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and so he grows up to be a companion of Imam Ali. He fights alongside Imam Ali. And Imam Ali, because of this person who is so special, Habib, and others like Maytham al-Tammar, Imam Ali had given them some secrets. And so this Habib, once they say he meets Maytham al-Tammar in the streets of Kufa, they crossed paths there, and Habib tells him, I see someone who they have crucified, and they are tearing his belly out because of his love for Ahlul Bayt. You know what they did to Maytham al-Tammar? They crucified him into a tree, and they tormented him really until he died. Why? Because of love of Ali and not denouncing Imam Ali alayhi salam. Habib knows the future. He's been given these secrets by Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is the future of you, Maytham. Maytham turns back to him. He says, I see someone whose head they will be carrying around in Kufa. These are the individuals, this is what they had done to deserve to become shaheed with Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. And so it says that him and Muslim forcefully made it to Karbala, hiding in the daytime and moving at nighttime. It wasn't easy. They had surrounded the city. You can't go out of Kufa unless you're going to join Ubaydullah's army and Umar ibn Sa'd's army. They're not going to let you go to and join Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. They had to put their lives on the line to leave the city and try to make it to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. You have to make sacrifices to make sacrifices, brothers and sisters. And so they eventually made it. And on the night of Ashura, we've all heard the story that they overheard Lady Zainab speaking to Abu Abdullah saying, these companions of yours, do you trust them? Have you tested them? Are they going to be with you, if you think, tomorrow? I hope they don't desert you. And Habib, when he finds out about this, he is destroyed. So he gathers all the ashab, he takes them to Bibi Zainab, and they stand there and they re-pledge their allegiance. They say, we're going to stay till the last breath. Don't you worry, Lady Zainab. We're not like the Kufans who deserted Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. He's a seasoned warrior, ready to fight. And so he becomes the commander of the left wing of the army of Abu Abdullah. The time for Salat comes. And someone calls out to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, your Salat is not accepted. Habib destroys him. He says, how can your Salat be accepted, but Abu Abdullah's is not accepted? And the time came that Muslim bin Awsaja goes and fights, and he falls. Imam Hussein comes standing at the body of Muslim, and Habib is also standing next to this best friend of his, Muslim bin Awsaja from Kufa. Habib says, if I didn't know that in a little bit I will also be killed, I would ask you, Muslim, to wish anything, and I would fulfill it, but I will also be killed just like you, Muslim. Muslim, what does he do? They say Muslim points to Abu Abdullah as he's breathing his last. He says, look, take care of this man, that's all. And Habib says, don't worry, that will happen. And so the time comes from Habib's fight as well. And this valiant warrior fights and fights until a person strikes his head. Blood is everywhere. Another with the spear brings him down from his horse. Abu Abdullah wasn't able to make it in time. They sever the head of Habib. When Abu Abdullah gets to this body, he says, this is a tragedy I will be rewarded by Allah for. This is a tragedy I cannot bear. They severed his head and they're fighting over his head. Who takes his head? And they eventually agreed to share the head of Habib. This is a medal of honor that we have. And they threw it around the neck of their horses, showing off the head of Habib. Abu Abdullah has to see this. And as they go, they may be even mocking Abu Abdullah. This is what happens to you and your friends. Time goes on, brothers and sisters. One of each companion falls, one after another. And it reaches a point, فَبَقِيَ الْحُسَيْنُ فَرْدًا وَحِيدًا. Abu Abdullah is left all alone. No more companions to help him. وَنَظَرَ يَمِينًا وَشِمَالًا. He looks to his left and right. فَلَمْ يَرَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ أَحَدًا. He didn't see anyone. And he calls out, they say, هَلْ مِنْ مُعِينٍ يُعِينُنَا. هَلْ مِنْ مُغِيثٍ يُغِيثُنَا فِي وَجْهِ اللَّهِ Is there anyone who will help me? O Muslim bin Aqil, O my cousin, where are you? Ya Hani bin Urwa, Ya Habib, Ya Muslim bin Awsaja, there's no one to answer. قُومُوا عَنْ نَوْمَتِكُمْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكِرَامِ وَادْفَعُوا عَنْ حَرَمِ آلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Come back to life and help me. Wake up from your sleep. But there is no one to answer, Aba Abdullah. هَلْ مِنْ نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُنَا Is there anyone to aid us? هَلْ مِنْ ذَابٍ يَذُبُّ عَنْ حَرَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Is there anyone to protect the haram and the women and children of Rasulullah? لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمُ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ وعجل اللهم في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان صلوات على محمد وآل محمد